Today's reading is from the Bible. That's what I reckon. Pretty good, huh? Alrighty, so it's John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And it's about the wedding at Cana. And like a lot of you are very familiar with this song. It could be a song, pretty sure we could sing it if we really wanted to, but this story. But like what happened to me with a wah-ha, it could be a wah-ha moment for any one of you. So buckle up, enjoy the ride. Here we go. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples, so that's why he was there. Pretty good. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Haven't converted that to metric, use your imagination. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water that had now become wine and did not know where it had come from, although the servants who had drawn the water, they knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom over and he said to him, "Everyone serves a good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then they bring out the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Before Fred comes, I'm just going to pray. Father, I want to thank you again for your presence with us. Lord, I pray for those in our family, our extended family, our spiritual family, our biological families who are in pain or hurting or grief or unwell. Lord, I ask that they would really know your presence with them. May the families of those who are mourning know your presence. Jesus, may your glory be real. And may your presence be very real. And Lord, for those of us who have really got nothing lot to complain about at the moment, Lord, I thank you. And I ask that even in the good times, not just the bad, that we would remember to praise you, that we would remember to draw on you for our strength and for our every being and for our everyday needs. Lord, whether they're monumentous things or whether they're the tiniest of little things, you care about that. You care about each one of us. And Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for that. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to be with each one of us and be with Fred as he brings your word to us today. May it be illuminated into each of our lives and may we find something new and fresh and wah-ha moment, I pray. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much, Heather, and the team. We do appreciate. Good morning. Good morning, church. My name is Fred for our visitors, and it's always a joy to stand before you each and every time I stand here to bring the Word of God. It's always a privilege to share with you, and I'm glad to bring the Word this morning. Today I want us to bring the Word of God as we look at the book of John, and thanks, Heather, for reading for us this morning, so I'm not going to read it again. But I want us to think about your journey from religion into relationship. Sometimes when you think about religion, sometimes it can be so general. But I want to say for all of us, the part of religion that we carry around us And God is not against that. But God is inviting us to a place of relationship. You know, when you think about the Bible, and you think about the Old Testament, the presence of God was so like a distance. For many people that we read in the Bible, they are not even able to stand in the presence of God or even face God. But John, like I said last time in chapter 1, John reminds the children of Israel that the God that you've had, the God that you so feared, the God that you believed in, that has become flesh, not because he wants to be just a baby, Jesus, he wants to be a friend. He's looking for a relationship with you. And that's why John says in John chapter 1, 14, that the Word became flesh and made. He came in our neighborhood. He became flesh and we've seen his glory. He became flesh and we've seen the signs. He became flesh and we've seen the things that he's doing. We've seen him eat with us. We've seen him walk with us. We've seen him fellowship with us. He wants a relationship. He wants a friendship. And my prayer today, that each one of us, including myself, that God is helping us and God is journeying with each one of us to come from that place of just being religious to a place of relationship. Let's just look at the first few verses of what we've just read. The Bible says that on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to this wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. So before even I go through this, and share with you what I brought today. I want you to see the relationship that Jesus has gone to this wedding with family. His mother is around there. His brothers are there. It's about connection. It's about the relationship. And many times weddings in many ways bring us families together. That even your brother that you've never seen in many years, and you send him your card for invitation, you invite him for your wedding, he'll try the best to be there. He'll be there. Because wedding is about family. In Africa, it's bigger than family. It's a community. For us, weddings is a community. It's bigger than just the family. It's a community coming together. So we are going to look at that this morning and see that how do we, as Christians, as people that honor and respect Christ, that how do we now rise up above the religion and embrace the relationship that Christ is inviting us to embrace. And you know, friends, one of the things I find is so fun, and John is addressing it in chapter 1, that we can spend so much time debating. How can somebody be born again like Nicodemus? How? How can a baby we've seen born like Jesus, born in the house of Joseph and Mary, glorified? How? So we can spend so much on the how and forget the relationship that he's offering to us, and forget the things that he's offering us, and forget his mission to us. Jesus was still in Galilee, where he had met Philip and Nathanael. And it was on that day after he had left Galilee, he and disciples were invited to a wedding in Cana. And also at the wedding was Mary, his mother. Now, John does not tell us whose wedding this was, because the bridegroom may well have been a relative of Jesus, given the concern that Mary showed when there was a shortage of wine. But we cannot ascertain this for sure. But what we know is that the act in Cana of Galilee was the first miraculous sign of Jesus that also marked the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. According to John, that this miraculous sign had two results. One of the things as a result this miraculous sign carried with it was that Jesus revealed his glory. If you look at chapter 2, verse 11, it talks about Jesus revealing his glory through this wonderful sign or miracle that was done during that time. The second thing that we see here, that his disciples believed in him. That his disciples believed in him, that Jesus was no longer just the son of Mary, he was also the glorious Savior, the object of faith. I want you to get these two different things, that Jesus goes to this wedding, already has disciples, he has people that are walking with him. But the scripture says that after this miracle, after this sign, the disciples believed in him. I want to remind you that friendship does not happen in a day. A relationship does not happen in a single day. A relationship doesn't happen when you come to church and just read a Bible. A relationship does not happen when you give your life to Christ. But it's a journey that begins for each one of us to be able to pursue that relationship. The disciples have been journeying with Jesus. They have seen Jesus baptize people. They have seen Jesus talk about some things that were beyond their understanding. But until then, it's only when Jesus is doing this miracle, the relationship between them and Jesus changes completely. So, not only Jesus showed the glory, but the relationship between Jesus and his disciples changed completely. After Jesus revealed his glory, the religious people opposed to him. Listen, after Jesus revealed his glory, the religious people opposed to him. They resisted him on the basis of their tradition and beliefs, finding especially security that they were the children of Abraham and the disciples of Moses. I want you to see how there's a big difference between Jesus' mom, who had understood this young boy from the time he was born. This mother, even when wine had run out, she knows the son can do something, and she's asking Jesus, or rather informing Jesus, the wine has run out. She's encouraging the servants, do whatever he's telling you. This is a parental love. A mother that has looked after this young, tiny boy. He has understood. They have a relationship they have together. That they can. She can say this young man can be ABCD. In 1987, my mother prophesied in my life. And she is not like a prophet. She stood and said, my mother held my hand and spoke the things that I've seen happening in my own life as a mother. She told me, I believe in you. And that was the lowest time in my life. When my mother held my hand and shook and told me, I trust you. I know what God has for you. I know the journey that God has prepared for you. I want to encourage you, moms and dads. Prophesy for the life of the children. Encourage our children. You know, sometimes as parents, we like, you know, the society is so bad. Children, we make the children even feel bad. I want to encourage us parents, let's prophesy in the lives of these children. Among these children, we have prime ministers. Among these children, we have people that are going to do research on diseases. Among these children, we have scientists. Among these children, we have doctors. Let's encourage them. They may not be the best children. They may do the right things. But let's prophesy into their lives. Let us speak into their future. And bless these children. That was the work of my Mary. They had a wonderful relationship with Jesus. And she says, the wine has run out. She never went to the master of the ceremony. She never said, let's go to the supermarket and buy more. She never. And you know, Jewish weddings are more like African and Asian weddings. They don't happen for just one day. Those weddings can stay for a whole week. So you better have enough food for the visitors for the whole week. You know, in the West, sometimes you make me sometimes smile because sometimes you come for a wedding for an hour, even 45 minutes. Like, the wedding is gone. Do you know, before I went to actually make a commitment to this girl's parents, they had to make me visit the family a minimum of 3 times, declaring my intention. And I'm not going alone. I'm carrying a lot of people. I'm carrying family. I'm carrying groups of people with me, my parents, my friends, 3 times for the family to say yes to the wedding. The wedding had not even happened. Just for them to say yes to the wedding. Jesus offering the new wine, demonstrated that his superiority over the tradition of the laws and of the Jews and all those who promoted them. John wanted them to see all the Jews rise up beyond these traditions so that they can embrace the new relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just as the son of Mary, but the son of God. Other people, if I gave you the church for 2013, you wouldn't even walk in that church. Because the church of 2020 in Africa, I'm not sure about here, if you played guitar, it was not religious, it was not godly. And some churches those days for women, you had to have like a veil or something on your hair. You couldn't just walk into the church. I've talked here before that there is a place in my mom's church where I went to preach without a tie. They told me it's wrong. But the point I'm saying is friends, we can be so much mixed in the don'ts and the ifs, but yet miss out on the relationship of Christ. My message today is that if you get the right relationship, the things we do will be defined by the relationship. Because if you are in the right relationship, it's a love that compels us. It's the joy that flows from us that compels us to give. Because our giving can only remain religious if you don't give out of a relationship with Christ. Your worship can only remain religious if it's not flowing from the relationship of Jesus Christ. Your Sunday attendance to church, your scripture you read every day can only remain religious if it's not flowing from the relationship. But I want to tell you, if those things are flowing from a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the scripture will not be something you struggle to open. Giving will not be an issue, even serving. If you go to those of us who've been to the wildlife, for example, in Kenya, we have the Maasai Mara and the Serengeti. Animals, they're not forced to drink water. They're not forced to eat. But I find sometimes as Christians, we want to be pulled. We want to be pulled to do something for Jesus. And I was saying, if our relationship is right with Christ, no one should push me to do something for Christ. Because no one tells me to buy something for the children. My children, somebody, oh, your children need shoes. Oh, your wife needs a new dress. It's a relationship that we have that compels us to do those things. So my question today, that how do we rise beyond these religious rules and activities into a relationship with Christ? Because that's John's desire. That's one of the things John wants to see us do. But I just move us quickly here. The first thing I want us to see is obedience. Obedience. Jesus' mother told the servants this, do whatever he tells you to do. I'm sure they would have said, why? Why should we fill these pots with water? And they are not small. What will happen to the water? Because those that I know about wine and brewing, and I'm not here to promote wines and spirits. That's not my call today. I've seen some people drink and say even Jesus promoted. I'm not here to promote that today. Today I'm talking about the relationship. But I want to tell you, this traditional wine and brewing in Africa, it doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a week. It takes a process for it to happen. But the point is, that the relationship Jesus is offering us is different. It's different. At Cana, the servants obeyed the word to fill the jars. James also emphasized this when he said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And I've said, you can read the Bible like a novel. You can read it every morning, every night. You can memorize scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You can recite. But if your relationship with Christ himself is not there, does not work for you, it only remains religious, and it does not benefit I or you. And my prayer, and the work of John here is that, friends, we have somebody that has made himself flesh, not because he wanted to show that he can do something miraculous, just because he wants friends around him, he wants a relationship around him for us to spend time with him. The second thing I want to mention is demonstrating our dependence on Him is key. Demonstrating our dependence on Christ is key. Why am I saying this? It's very easy to say that you love Him, you have a relationship with Him, but you have nothing to do with Him. I've seen people say that you can only pray if you have needs. If I don't have needs, I don't have to pray. And it happens many times. You go to a prayer meeting and you say, what can we pray for? I don't have anything to talk to God about today. It happens many times. Some of us wake up in the morning, you have nothing to pray for. I want to remind us today, a relationship is so important. A relationship is very important. But Mary demonstrated this by informing Jesus that they have no wine. Jesus reminded his disciples that until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive, and your joy will be complete. Because for Christ, the way these guys were relating with him, they were not even realizing that this man is actually going to go away very soon. You know, sometimes the people who take us for granted, because we're so used to each other. And these guys are so used to Jesus, even making jokes and cracking stuff, you know. But Jesus said, until now, you've not asked something in my name. Some may have understood what he said, others probably they did not. But Christ is talking about the relationship, that I want to see something bigger and stronger than what you're doing now. I want to see how you demonstrate, how do you depend on me? So as when you go to Christ in prayer, when you talk to him, it's not because that we are lacking stuff. It's because we want to build that connectivity. We want to build that relationship with him. So prayer in many ways shows our dependence. He said this to them. It is written that my house shall be the house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And if you continue to read this, John chapter 2, towards the end you find that he went even to the temple and kicked out. Who did he kick out? Sorry? People. And sometimes we take the Church of Christ, when I talk about the church, is us to be a business. To be a business. To be a show. But the Church of Christ is about relationship. It's about relationship. We can demonstrate with one another. We can demonstrate with him. The last thing I want to share with us is a true worship. We are not told how the bridegroom responded, but it's reasonable to imagine that the master of ceremonies and the bridegroom later discovered that it was Jesus who saved the day. And this is my personal opinion, that I want to believe that they worshipped him. Can you imagine when you're stuck? You're confused. And something comes up. Something happens miraculously. And they come and tell you, do you know what? This guy sorted you out. That whatever you found at home, it was sorted by this person. The feeling about that person. A true worship will show our relationship. I tell people, especially men, you can buy 1,000 roses. You can buy whatever you buy. But the true test will be in the relationship itself. You can even do $1 billion wedding and have the limousines surround and even order the security from the government, the police, with the motorbikes to lead the way on that particular Sunday or whatever day, Saturday. But the test will be the relationship. The friends, you can lift your hands up on Sunday and cry tears to God. But if our relationship with Christ is not right, He'll tell you these words. That Isaiah said before. That these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. At the finish, I want to share this illustration, this example from Moses. Moses is one of the guys that I respect a lot in the Bible. Moses watches the bush burning with fire. Moses walks to the bush and God tells him, Moses, remove your sandals because the place you're about to see or get to is holy. Now, for some of us, you know, removing shoes may not be a big thing. But I want to tell you, in some cultures, removing shoes is so big in some cultures, especially for men. Some of us who live on the farms know. On that Sunday morning when the man walks in from the farm with muddy boots and steps into a clean house, and how the lady you feel after you've just cleaned the house. But this is not about the muddy shoes. This is a culture that just removing. And John talks about it, that the shoes of Jesus, even himself, could not even untie them, the shoes of Jesus. But Moses is so humbled, when God asks him to remove his sandals, he removes them. And to encourage us, friends, obedience is so important. That if you want to own God, to honor God in our church today, listen to God's voice. Listen what God is telling you as an individual, as a church. It's going to be key in your journey, in your relationship with God. This was so important to Moses' journey. And sometimes I ask myself, if Moses refused to remove the shoes, what would have happened on that particular day? Is God asking you to remove your shoes today? Not the physical shoes. Is your temple become like the business one that Christ has to come and clean it up to establish a right relationship with him? You know, for some of us, it could be the temple that has been tainted with sin. For others, it's not sin, but it's business. Every day you wake up is business. Every day you wake up is, I'm too busy even to pray. You know, it can happen in so many ways that when we become so busy, it becomes a business. That's my own English. But I'm so busy for you. Think about your own children when you become too busy for them. Think about your family when you're so busy for them. Is that what you do to Christ? Is that a relationship they want to have with him? God never intended his people to have a dead, dull religion. He wants his people to have a vibrant, active relationship with him. Our journey with God was never intended to be based on empty rules, man opinion, on a Chekhov list of perfection. But of the atoning love sacrifice made for us at Calvary, that having a personal relationship with Christ means we know we can never do anything to truly make ourselves right before Him. And my prayer today for myself and you, that as I call Heather and the team to come back and lead us in the worship, I want you to think about your own journey. What is it that is hindering your relationship with Christ? Is it the rules and the regulations? Is it the businesses of the day that you're so busy, the house of Christ has become a business house? Or it's lack of understanding, like my friends here. And as I pray today, I want you to stand up. I want to pray for you, and I'm praying for myself as well. Those of us who would like to stand, just stand. Because I want to pray for you this morning. Father, thank you. That many times we're so busy for you. That even sometime when you lift our hands and worship, it's not about you. It's about the nice song that we can sing. But today I pray that it will not just be about the song. It's going to be about the relationship, Father. That some of us, that the houses of God have become business places. I pray, Lord, may you help us to claim the businesses, to allow you to be part of us in our journey. And I pray for this church. I pray, Lord, that you find us in a place where we can listen and hear your voice, in a place where we can see you and embrace you in a relationship as our Father. So today, as I finish, I want to commit ourselves to you, Father. I pray for those that are struggling with church, with fellowship, with relationship. I pray, God, may you help us to be there, Father. Thank you, Jesus.